You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is indeed a pleasure to welcome to the studios here in beautiful downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, one of the loveliest states in the Union. Certainly, perhaps not the largest, but it's always one of the loveliest this time of year. We have with us members of the family of the Courthouse Center for the Arts. Richard Erickson is here. He's in the background. Richard, serve as the peanut gallery. Do a little applause or something. That's Richard Erickson.
Hooray!
That's Richard Erickson clapping in the background. And the next production that Richard is bringing to the theater, after an amazing run of Avenue Q, which was phenomenal, by the way. I'll give you that serious compliment. It was a great production. The next one is Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Applause.
Yay! Hooray!
Okay. See, I want you to know this is a high-class operation. And the man playing Joseph is Billy Steves. Billy, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. You're from New York, right?
Yes, I am. Great to be here.
And have you been in Rhode Island performing before?
Not since I was much younger. I lived here for a while. I went to University of Rhode Island. I was in the theater program there.
Oh,
so
okay.
I performed there.
Right down the road from us, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And the return, the triumphant return to Rhode Island of one of New York's greatest directors and choreographers, Richard Sabellico, is here. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Mike. Nice to see you again after all these years.
Actually, it was about almost 20 years ago that I had the privilege of working for Richard in the production of Music Man that toured around the country with great success. And it's great to see you again. And
thank you.
Have you been back to Rhode Island since that time?
Not to work. Oh, since the Music Man?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I worked at Theater by the Sea pretty steadily until, I don't even know when, 2000?
About 10 years ago, perhaps,
yeah.
Something like that?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's...
And the new owner of Theater by the Sea, Bill Henney, is a very good friend of mine, and I was there for the big gala they did last year, I believe.
Oh, well.
To raise some money, I think.
Then you saw me perform, and you don't remember.
Did you? What did you do?
I was in the quartet that sang at the gala, both times.
I guess I did.
I did a number with Katie Hoffman and with Amy Turner.
Right.
Yeah, he's saying right. He has no record.
No, actually, now I do remember.
We were the hit of the show, as a matter of fact.
I do remember, actually.
Anyway.
I do.
Well, we're going to find out about Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is going to be at the theater March 22nd to April 15th. We'll give you details about that a little bit later. But, Richard, let's get to the first piece of music. What do you have for us?
This is called Any Dream Will Do. In the original production, the song was only at the end of the show. And we're putting it at the beginning of the show, which basically is going to lay out the intentions of the leading character, Joseph, and the path he's going to follow for the next 2 hours. And lot about his hopes and dreams.
We'll give that a listen and then be back with more.
Closed my eyes, drew back the curtain to see for certain what I thought I knew. Far, far away, someone was weeping, but the world was sleeping. any dream will do. I wore my coat with golden lining, bright colors shining, wonderful and new. And in the east, the dawn was breaking, and the world was waking.
We have music from the show, and we'll hear a lot more music from the show as Richard will explain it to us. But Billy, back to you. I was told off air that you were born in a trunk in Idaho. Is that correct?
No, that's not true. That's just Richard busting my chops.
Okay.
It's going to be a long rehearsal
where
process.
Where did you come from?
I'm originally from Connecticut.
Oh, that's okay. We like Connecticut. That's a good part of our listening area. That's
and
a good
I was
thing.
Kind of raised in Rhode Island in a way. My family had a house here, and so we'd spend weekends and summers here. So I'm very familiar with.
So your family was basically rich.
No, my family, my parents were teachers, so we had had the summers off, and they were given a house by the school that they were teachers at, so they didn't have to pay for that house. So we had a house of our own.
And how long have you been doing the acting thing? Since college?
I started in high school. I really started with singing. I started with dancing. I was a ballet dancer since I was 16. I was a gymnast before that. I started singing in high school.
It's a good thing this isn't television, because you'd have to see what's going on in the background. But go ahead. We'll just keep going. We'll pretend they're not here.
Thank you. I started singing in high school, and my voice got really strong really fast, and I started performing then and really just fell in love with it, and so have been doing it since then.
Well, that's great. Been making a living at it. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
More or less.
More or less. All right. Well, right now, I know you're probably making the big bucks for this show at Courthouse Center for the Arts.
So huge.
Totally.
Huge. All right. Back to to Richard Sabelko, who's had an interesting career. He's been in the business for more than 10 years.
Yes.
More than 20.
Yes.
Keep going.
Maybe 30.
Keep going.
Okay.
I got my equity card in 1970.
Oh, okay.
So that's what, 42 years.
I could. I was. I was in college, just getting out of college then. So, you know, I'm not that far off. And some of the things for our audience that might, someone that's been living under a rock and doesn't know about your background, give us a
like everyone.
Yeah, give us a little synopsis.
I was an actor for 20 some odd years. I had my first Broadway show I did when I was 22, I think, was Gypsy with Angela Lansbury. And I did, all told, 8 Broadway shows. And I did, my favorite was playing Rooster Hannigan in Annie on Broadway for almost 2 years. And I did Dame Ditsy, A Chorus Line, a bunch of shows people didn't know, like The Magic Show, although it did run 4 years. Mm-hmm. And a show called A Musical Jubilee, where I had the privilege of working with Lillian Gish.
Hmm.
And a lot of great performers, John Raitt, Patrice Bunsell, Eartha Kitt, Tammy Grimes.
Wow.
And then a couple of big flops, like Rockabye Hamlet and Gotta Go Disco.
I did miss those.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you blinked, you would have missed them.
When did directing become...
I started directing, interestingly enough, my first job I was paid for as a professional was to direct Annie at the Theater by the Sea when it was run by Tommy Brent in 1983, the summer of 1983.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first sanctioned production after the Broadway and the National Tour, you know, anything that didn't come out of the first class. And the girl that played Annie was, I think she was 9 at the time. Her name was Jean Louisa Kelly, and she's gone on to do a lot of stuff. She was on the TV show Yes, Dear, and she was starred in the movie Uncle Buck and Mr. Holland's Opus and The Fantastics.
Mm-hmm.
And we've stayed in touch over all these years. She's a great, great little kid. And a lot of those people are still in the business. A lot of the people that were in that company are very successfully working on Broadway and on tour and stuff. And then so I did it on and off, directing and acting, until 1990. In 1989, the last thing I did as an actor was I played opposite Mitzi Gaynor in a national tour of Anything Goes that came out of Lincoln Center. And we started rehearsals in August of 1989 and closed in the fall of 1990. And then I got a job directing a revisal of I Can Get It For You Wholesale, the show that originally starred Barbara Streisand. And we opened off-Broadway in early 91, and it was a huge hit.
Hmm.
And Frank Rich, who was the critic for the New York Times at that time, wrote a love letter review about me and then kept bringing my name up in other articles and reviews, comparing other directors to me. That's pretty much started my career.
Excellent.
I've done some great stuff.
A lot of wonderful people that you've named off there. So that's great. We're going to get some details about the upcoming show from Richard Erickson in just a moment. But we're going to listen to this next tune first, called One More Angel, I think.
Yes, One More Angel in Heaven. Joseph's brothers, who are completely they despise Joseph. They're basically because they're jealous of him and his open purity of heart. And they decide that he's got to go. So they initially plan on killing him, but they can't do that. So what happens is they sell him as a slave to Ishmaelites, and then take his technicolor coat and douse it in lamb's blood and bring it back and tell their father that he was killed fighting off a ferocious goat that was attacking them, and he gave his life so his brothers might live. And this is called another, and it's a country western style. All of the music, all of the songs, the major songs in the show, are very specifically different style music. There's a 40s number, a 50s number, a cha-cha, a merengue, calypso, and this is country western.
All right. We'll listen to that one and then take a short break and be back with more of Courthouse Center for the Arts.
Thank you.
sorrow, do not grieve.
He would not want you to.
There's one more angel in heaven. There's one more star in the sky. Joseph will never forget you. It's tough, but we're gonna get by. There's one less place at our table. There's one more tear in my eye. But Joseph, the things that you stood for, when I think of his last great battle, a lump comes to my throat. It takes a man who knows no fear to wrestle with a goat. His blood-stained coat is tribute to his final sacrifice. His body speak, but his soul's in paradise. So long, little Joe. Adios, buckaroo. 10-4, good buddy.
There's one less place at our table. There's one more tear in my eye.
Joseph, the things that you stood for,
like truth and life never die.
For his name with pride and courage,
let no tear be shed.
If he had not laid down his life, we all would now be dead.
We are back on Conducting Conversations, having a very pleasant evening listening to stories of past experiences by Billy Steves, the actor that will be in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and Richard Sabellico, who will be directing the production. And now we have Richard Erickson here, who has been serving as the peanut gallery, but now we're going to actually put him on the microphone and ask him to tell us when, where, and how.
In other words, you want me to be the flack for the production, which I am happy to be. It opens March 22nd, and it closes on tax day, April 15th. And if you come, you'll have really good vibes, and you won't have to worry about paying the IRS. You can get tickets at courthousearts.org is our website, or dial 401-782-1018. We play Thursdays through Saturdays at 7 p.m., and we have Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m. And remember, we have a special Easter matinee. Say hi to the bunny and hop on over.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Hi to the bunny and hop on over.
Yeah.
Is that patented?
That is patented. It will be trademarked by 5 p.m.
All right. There you go. I mean, I never heard anything from Theater by the Sea like that. This is strictly Courthouse Center for
this
the Arts material.
This will be a big lawn. Okay. A large lawn.
Okay.
Easter eggs and bunnies.
All right. Let's get to some more music from the show and a little further explanation. And tell us about this next piece, Richard.
This next song is it's sung by Potiphar, who was a... I actually don't know. He was a... Well, by today's standards, he was a millionaire businessman of the period. And Joseph is sold to him. From the Ishmaelites, sell Joseph to him as a servant.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph, garners Potiphar's favor. And he raises him to head servant. But Potiphar's wife has eyes for Joseph. And she's promiscuous, and she manipulates Joseph into compromising positions.
She's a hussy.
And then, miraculously, extricates herself from it as Joseph is discovered and gets thrown into jail, much against his will.
All right, we'll listen to that one now.
Joseph was taken to Egypt in chains and sold, where he was bought by a captain named Potiphar.
Out of a very few cast, he was one of Egypt's millionaires, having made a fortune buying shares in
pyramids.
Potiphar had made a huge pile, owned a large percentage of the Nile.
It meant that I could really live in style.
And he did.
Oh, I did.
Joseph was an unimportant slave who found he liked his master, consequently worked much harder even with devotion. Potiphar could see that Joseph was a cut above the average, made him leader of his household, maximum promotion.
Potiphar was cool and so fine,
but my wife would never toe the line.
It's all there in chapter 39 of Jealousy.
Don't believe everything you read, dear.
She was beautiful but evil, so a lot of men against his will, he would have to tell her that she still was his.
You're mine.
Joseph's looks and a handsome figure had attracted her attention. Every morning she would beckon,
come and lie with me, love.
Joseph wanted to resist until one day she proved too eager. Joseph cried in vain,
please stop, I don't believe in free love.
Pity.
Richard, just to clarify, the music we've been listening to so far is actually a Broadway recording, Broadway cast?
It's a general recording done. It's the artist of Joseph's playing Joseph is Donny Osmond.
Okay.
And he toured the show a lot. He did play it on Broadway for a short while, but this is basically just a recording of his production as it played all over the country and in Canada.
Okay, and obviously the production itself here at Courthouse hasn't happened yet, so that's why we're listening right to that music. And we'll quickly go to another tune, trying to get that in, and talk about Close Every Door.
Right, well, this takes place immediately after he's thrown into jail. Mm-hmm. And It's basically his, a lament where he sees no future for himself, and it comes as close to feeling sorry for himself as can be, even though I don't allow any negativity in a performance. So we're going to try to find the positive side of it, but it's basically Joseph lamenting his fate.
Instead of my name, forget all about me and let me decay. I do not matter, I'm only one person. Destroy me completely, then throw me away. If my life but I know the answers lie far from this world.
Billy, before we get to the next piece of music, let's just hear a little bit about the part of Joseph. I mean, in a lot of musicals, there are, you know, whether there's always a main character, pretty much, but this one is right in the title. You're it. You're the big shot.
The title character. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
When I was offered the role, I was delighted, of course, but I didn't know a lot about the show. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen it. I'd heard a few of the songs. So I got to work doing some research and, getting to know the show a little bit, getting to know the character a little bit. And I really love Joseph. I love the person that he is and I identify with him, and it made me really even more excited to play the role. So I'm
that
just,
makes it a lot easier, I would presume, if you, it if makes, you like it makes what
it
you're doing.
Yeah, of course. It makes it easier. It makes it more exciting. It makes it, when a role is so accessible to you, it makes your job a lot easier and a work of love and joy. So I'm really excited about it.
Excellent. All right. We'll go back to Richard and find out about the next tune before we take a break, which is The Pharaoh's Dream.
Yes, this is the most popular tune in the show. It is based on a character that was created by Elvis Presley, a rock and roller. It is sung by the Pharaoh, who it's his dreams that he's been having. And Joseph has been found to be an interpreter of dreams and is sent to the Pharaoh, who explains his dream to him in 1950s rock and roll style.
All right, we'll listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more of Courthouse Center for the Arts.
Well, welcome to Egypt there, Joseph. Well, I was wandering along the banks of the river when seven fat cows came out of the Nile. Oh, yeah. And right behind these fine, healthy animals came seven other cows, skinny and vile. Oh, yeah. Well, the thing has ate the fat cows, which I thought would do them good. But it didn't make a batter like I thought a monster suffer should. Well, the thing got worse than it ever, 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 ever been. This dream has got me baffled. Hey, Joseph, what does it mean? Well, you know that kings ain't stupid, but I don't have a clue. So don't be standing doing nothing in a field out of town when I saw seven beautiful ears of corn. Oh yeah, they were ripe, they were golden, and you guessed it right behind them. There were seven other ears tattered and torn. Oh yeah, well the back on ain't the good one. Yeah, they came up from behind, yes they did. But Joseph, here's a punchline, and it's really gonna blow your mind, baby. Let you live. Well, the bad one was as bad as it ever, 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 ever been. This dream has got me all shook up, so dreaming nice and tell me what it means.
Hey.
I understand the bit about the corn, but I'm not quite sure about the cows. So I was wondering if you could tell me just one more time.
Mr. Pharaoh man, please.
Hey, 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 Joseph! Won't you please tell him Pharaoh?
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with Billy Steeves, the actor who will be portraying Joseph, and Richard Sibelico, director of the show, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and Richard Erickson playing the part of the Peanut Gallery. Let's hear
Hello.
You. A little applause. Oh, would be, a little applause is what you said.
Oh,
you're doing.
Hey, yay! Okay. Courthouse Center for the Arts. Go
okay.
Arts!
We'll hear more from Richard in a few minutes, but I want to get just a little bit more details before we wrap up here about the show itself. Richard, tell us some more background.
Well, when Richard called me to do this, he kept saying to me, now, it's a very small space. It's not what you're used to. And I mean, I've been used to, I practically could direct a show on a postage stamp. So I was pleasantly surprised when I got to the theater and saw what an actually very interesting, exciting space it is, with a lot of tremendous possibility. And so I'm going to reconceive the whole show and pull a lot of things out of trunks and boxes and
and other places
and
on
other
your body.
Places or other orifices.
It kind of got us off track a little bit.
Have it a bit at like story theater.
Okay.
Involve the audience, get the audience completely on Joseph's side. And, you know, I've got a couple of tricks up my sleeve. And we also have a huge surprise at the end with the way the Technicolor coat is being designed by this extremely talented designer, Sandra Campbell, who is indeed a local girl, woman. She's been a girl for a while, a woman. And I was quite impressed with what she has done so far. And it's a lot of it is going to be flying by the seat of my pants because I don't know Joseph that well. And I thought to myself, rather than sit down and plan something, I want it to be a lot more spontaneous, which is what I'm hoping the show will be.
Just like this show has been.
Just like this show. Whenever you have Richard Erickson in a room... Decorum takes a flying leap out of the window.
It does. We need to have this on television instead of radio. But at any rate, getting back to the show, just listen to this tune, this next tune, which is called Canaan Days.
Yeah, those Canaan Days. They're talking about New Canaan, Connecticut. No, I'm kidding. They're not. They're talking about Canaan in Egypt. And we don't see the brothers after they basically... pawn Joseph off as dead and sing about him to his dad in their country western style, they disappear from the show. Mm-hmm. And the narrator then brings us back as to what's been happening to them over the years. And what they come to is that their lives have taken a terrible turn for the worst, and they're actually missing Joseph and are hoping to regain... they can't be hoping... Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're hoping to be able to find him again and reunite with him. And in trying to achieve, they go to see the Pharaoh.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's enough of that.
The summers were endlessly gold.
Henry.
The fields were a patchwork of clover.
All over.
The winters were never too cold. We strolled on the boulevard together.
No joie de vivre anywhere. And maintenant we drink a bitter wine.
Those Canaan days we used to know, where have they gone? Where did they go? Eh bien, raise your berets to those Canaan days.
Do you remember wonderful party, the splendor of Canaan's cuisine, our extravagant, elegant soirees, the gayest the Bible has seen. It's funny, but since we lost Joseph, we've gone to the other extreme. No one comes to dinner now.
We'd only eat them anyhow. I even find I'm missing Joseph's dreams.
Those Canaan days we used to know, where have they gone? Where did they go? And yeah, praise your airways to those Canaan days.
It's funny, but since we lost Joseph, we've gone to the other extreme. Perhaps we all misjudged the lad. Perhaps he wasn't quite that bad. And how we miss his entertaining
hum hum hum
dreams.
Those Canaan days we used to know, where have they gone? Where did they go? Eh bien, raise your berets
to those
Well, we certainly have been having a wonderful time listening to stories by Richard Sibelko here. At least I've been having a wonderful time. And in the frivolity, we might have done a little misspeaking.
Yes, I have been admonished severely by Mr. Erickson. The lovely young lady who is designing the Joseph coat, her name is Sarah Campbell, not Sandra Campbell. Sarah Campbell, who is a local artisan. And as I said, the code is quite extraordinary, and I apologize for misspeaking.
And there aren't a lot of locals in this show, right, Richard? This is Richard Erickson. You have had gone out of town on this one.
Yeah, we did. We went to New York quite a bit. A lot of Richard's compatriots are coming in. We tried to find locals, as we did with Avenue Q. You know, Avenue Q is mostly local talent, but you got to have boy dancers in this one, and they're hard to find locally, so...
One more time, why don't you give us the details about when, where, how, and we'll just ask Richard to wrap it up after that.
Okay, we open March 22nd, and we close April 15th, and we do Thursday through Saturdays at 7, Saturday and Sunday matinees at 2 p.m., and we have, as I said before, a special Easter matinee. Right.
And?
Say hi to the bunny and hop on over.
I think it was something like that.
Hi to the bunny, what you said.
Yeah, I think that was it. Billy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good luck with this crew that you're with. I think it's going to be an interesting experience.
Fingers crossed.
Okay. Richard, thank you very much for coming in. I know that it's always tough to make time in a busy schedule and trying to put a production together. Thanks for sharing with our audience.
My pleasure. I love letting people listen to me.
Oh, there
it's
you
all
go.
About
all
right. Me.
Let's ask you to then just wrap it up with this last.
Okay,
piece
this
of
is a this is the end of the show. This is after the show is officially ended. Joseph, by nature, is not a long show. It's maybe 90 minutes if it is that long, and so the creators have put together what they call a mega mix, which is, after the curtain call, a huge almost 10-minute reinterpretation of the music that we've already heard during the evening. And it's a big, big dance party with all the same music again. And it's a lot of fun, and it's really going to go along with me involving the audience and trying to get them up and work with us and carry on and make complete fools of themselves, which people like
right.
to do.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing the production myself. Hope to be there at maybe even opening night, whatever. Depends on I better, as Richard Erickson is saying. Anyway, congratulations to Richard Erickson and Courthouse Center for the Arts. Their last production of Avenue Q was spectacular, and it was a lot of fun being in that very interesting building. If you haven't been there before, you should check it out. You come in downstairs, and there's all kinds of festivities and things going on in the rooms downstairs, and then you go up to this wonderful space and get a chance to see Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. We'll go out listening to a piece of this mega mix. We don't have time for the whole thing, but we'll listen to that, and then see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.